Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Good morning. This is Baba Jahi with another edition of Home Based Fitness 101. Thank you for tuning in. Sit back, listen to our theme song, and I'll be right back at you. Yes, every morning as you wake up, you need to remind yourself, it's my time. That's right. You need to repeat that to yourself. One of the things about being successful in business is having that positive mental attitude, and you have to see it as your time. That's right. It's your time to reach your destiny. Hey, this morning we're going over a couple things. Record keeping, getting the technology you need, and I got a very special broadcast for you, some information from One Coach. One Coach is a company that helps people by coaching them to be as successful as they can be with their business, and they're going to talk about some things about how to build your business. And you'll be able to chime in on that, listen to that, and apply whatever you need to apply to your particular business. Again, this is Home-Based Business 101, how to run a business from your home. Okay, last week we finished off with business plan development. Now we're talking about this week setting up your basic records. You know you need to set up that office, and there are several basic set of records that you will need to keep in your office. You know, some for tax purposes and others basically you need to be able to run your business effectively and intelligently and be able to make adequate business decisions. So let's start with some of these items that you're going to need in terms of record keeping. First, you'll want to keep an electronic copy of your business plan. You want to be able to keep a copy of your business plan on hand, on file, because you're going to always be, at times, you're going to be sharing that with prospective investors, prospective people you might want to get a loan from in terms of the bank, or if you meet with the Small Business Administration. So you want to keep an electronic copy of your business plan that you can always pull up, print out. Needless to say, you know, your computer is a big item and tool in today's business world, and in home-based business, again, you know, you definitely need, as I said, in terms of your business plan and other stuff, is you definitely need to have your computer. You need to have, with your computer, you need to have backup files, and I would suggest having more than one computer, so if a computer crashes, that you're not, you know, it doesn't inhibit you in terms of business, that you have another computer that you can go right to, but definitely keeping backup files. The worst thing that happens is something happens to your computer and all of your files are on one computer and you lose them. I mean, I had a friend one time, his house, the way it's situated was, he had all of his stuff on a computer. He had his computer in his basement and he ended up getting a flood. And when the flood came, it zapped his computer, and he was not able, all of his files, everything, and he had been meaning to create those backup files. So it's important that one of the things you want to make sure that you do is definitely create you a backup file system in terms of things you need to keep on hand. As I said, one of the first things that you want to have an electronic copy of, as far as your records and papers, is your business plan, so that whenever you need it, you can pull it up. You're going to the bank, you're trying to get a loan, or you're trying to convince investors, or you're trying to get people to support your business. They need to know how your business plan works. Next, you need to keep you an electronic calendar. I use, again, Microsoft Outlook. It's a great secretary. You know, and I keep all of my appointments, all of my, I have to do a lot of phone calling. I have to phone call people all over the country. In terms of my one business, my YTB travel business, I do a lot of phone calling. Just to give you an example of the kind of phone calling I do, like last night, I called Hawaii, Alaska, California, Arizona, state of Washington, Tennessee. So I do a lot of phone calling, so I don't get confused with who I'm supposed to call, when, and what time. I use Microsoft Outlook and cut, paste, and put in appointment times of who I'm supposed to call and when I'm supposed to call, and click reminder and what I need to remind me of, and I keep my computer up and running. I only shut it down, you know, when I go to bed at night, which is sometimes not till 1 or 2 in the morning. But I keep it up and running because we have Microsoft Outlook, and hit those reminders, a little bell's going to ring. And it brings up a reminder of whatever task you set to be able to do. So you want to make sure you have an electronic calendar so you can keep track of all of your appointments. It's very, very, you know, important to be able to do that. And with that also, you know, with Microsoft Outlook, you also have a contact database. And, you know, as you develop that contact database, the other thing you want to be able to do with that is to make sure that you keep track of all of the people who've either you've done business with, who've expressed an interest in your business, or who just thinking about maybe doing business with you, is keeping, you know, a file on all of those people, contact information. And always remember this when you're doing business with people. Sometimes you approach someone and, you know, you want to do business with them, and they say no. No, right. That means it's no, not right now. That's what that means. That's how I take it. I don't take it as no, never. So you make a note. You put them on the back burner. You might get back to them 30, 45, or 90 days later because life changes and their situation changes and their circumstance change. And what might have been a no in, say, let's say September might become a yes in January as the new year enters or in February because situations have changed for them and things. You don't hound them and keep calling them every week. Just let some time go between and, you know, say, hey, I'm getting back to you. And, you know, you remember what I was sharing with you or something in your business, in your company. And you got some new news you want to share with them that might change their decision about why they said no 3 months ago that might lead to a so it's very, very important to keep that database up and running. And the other thing that you want to be able to do besides having that calendar, electronic calendars I talked about, is what's called your contact database, which is basically you know, your client's names, address, phone numbers, email addresses, and a phone log. A phone log, who did you call? What did you call them about? Whether it was a vendor that you was calling to supply you with materials you need for your business, or whether or not it was your contacts or referrals. But you want to keep a phone log. And the length of minutes you talk to people, who you spoke to, the company, the phone number. And if you had to leave a message, if you didn't actually talk to a live person, what did you talk about? You might not want to repeat all these details if your contact manager is up to date, but be sure that the person's name and company is covered regardless. And so this is very, very important in terms of your developing your database and making sure that you get that database complete and up and running. Next, you want to be able to make sure, as you have besides a database, is you want to be able to have a good system of expense and income records. Things that you spend money on and income that you bring in for your business, because this is very important when it comes to the IRS and your taxes. You don't want the IRS to think you made money that you didn't make, and you don't want them, you know, you don't want to pad your expense sheet, but you want all legitimate expenses. You want those to be listed, so it's very important to keep a log. I have several different logs. We have a log that we keep in our vehicle so that every time when we get in the vehicle, my wife logs in, she's the driver, she logs in what the mileage was and what the mileage is when we get back home. We buy gas, keeping those gas receipts when we get work done on the vehicle, whether it's a tune-up, oil change, whatever, keeping a record of all of that. And then every month we do is at the end of the month, we tally those, and then at the end of the quarter, we tally those because our vehicle, remember, again, home-based business, in most cases, and I'll probably say maybe in the majority of cases, you're running a home-based business, your vehicle also is a tax write-off. So, you know, the insurance we pay on the vehicle, the money that we use to spend on gas for the vehicle, the money that we spend for maintenance on the vehicle, all of those are tax write-offs. I keep one log in the vehicle to keep track of those things so you don't forget. And it doesn't take that long when you get in the vehicle just to write down what your mileage is before pulling out. And when you come back home at the end of the day, your mileage and then what trips you made and then just documenting that. That's very, very important, again, in terms of you know, setting up proper records. Because when you go to deal with the IRS, you want to be able to document the things that you do that's business-related. So, that you know, so that's one logbook that you keep in your vehicle. I have another log that I keep for supplies, office supplies. I have a log in terms of I use Staples because being involved in the business that I'm in, YTB, we have a contract with Staples through what's called our RTA Advantage program. And with that program, it allows us to get great discounts. And want to be able to, you know, have a log that you use to make sure that you keep track of what you spend on your office supplies. So, you know, that's your vendor log. You keep that, you know, with you know, your file cabinet that you have for your home office. You keep that right there handy and everything so that you can make sure that, you know, you have access to that. You don't want to forget to log stuff in. Save all receipts. Again, when I go out to eat, again, I have a whole log for that in terms, and then keeping the receipt because you're going to write all of these things off. So record keeping is very, very important. And if you set it up right to begin with, you don't have to worry about dealing with it later on. So it's very, very important to do that. So those are the different logs, you know, that you want to you keep. And then your invoices. You should make up an invoice so when you deal with customers, that you have an invoice number, and keeping data that in which your invoice, like I said, you have an invoice number and a date, description of, you know, what the transaction was. Develop yourself some kind of marketing code. This code will let you know how you obtain the client so you can better target your marketing and know what works and what doesn't. And, of course, you know, the amount, the total amount. So you want to have a good invoice system. In terms of dealing with keeping track of your invoices and your income. And records. Now, my wife is the real pack rat because with our nonprofit business, you know, there's records. I try to take a lot of stuff and put on computer files. Well, my wife, you know, she's a hard copy person. We got hard copy records all the way back to 1990. In terms of clients and information, in terms of, you know, a nonprofit business. So the thing and the reason you want to keep all these records in case if you ever get audited by the IRS is that you have your stuff in order, your papers in order, and usually they don't feel like going through all of that paperwork. So, you know, and they know also, too, is that with computers, you know, it's easy for people to fudge stuff, but if you got hard copies also and save them, then, you know, you can't fudge. So I pull out a receipt from 1995 summer camp. You know, I mean, it's old, it's dated, signature on there. You know it was something that we just made up overnight because we're getting audited. So that's very, very important. The other aspect that you still wanted to cover this morning also was besides setting up your records and getting your records in order and having those logs in order, is making sure you get the proper technology that you need, You want to make sure in terms of technology that you have the tech support that you need to run your business. And that's very, very important. And so, you know, basically computer, a laptop, a fax machine, and then whatever gadgets that you might deem necessary for your business, you know, definitely a cell phone. You decide whether you want a data entry device such as a BlackBerry or, you know, some other device that you can also pull your emails up from or whether you just need a cell phone for just talking to people. But, you know, figuring out what kind of technology that you need in terms of running your business. Okay. With that said in mind, as I shared with you also this morning, we're going to listen to people from one coach because the other side, the technology you need, every business owner needs a coach. It's just like you don't see people go out and play sports without a coach. Why try to run a business without a coach? And so we're going to listen to some people from off of the Secret who have a piece on Build Your Business, and I'm going to play part of that this morning so you can listen to some of the things that they talk about in terms of helping you become a successful business owner. And then the last part of the show, share with you again the YTB opportunity and take any questions, calls, or comments. So sit back, get yourself a pencil, a piece of paper, take notes, because this is some very, very important information that's about to be shared with you.
Now, what we've done with our purpose for One Coach is really to help business owners like you increase revenues and profits while living an extraordinary life. And everybody asks us about, you know, what that means. It really means making more money through your business, through the way you express yourself, so you can live the life you really want to live. And so that is really the purpose for us. And so we've condensed the knowledge that we've gained and our experience into seven factors. And if you take out your pens right now, I'm going to start with the first one right now. So take out your pen. And whenever we start a business, it makes no difference what it is, you have to have crystal clear vision. If you don't have a vision, then you're leaving it to chance for yourself and for other people to really know what it is that you're achieving. There's also a lot of neurological and other factors that play into this, but for now, let's just take it as you've got to have a crystal clear vision. And so ask yourself a question. Do you have a crystal clear vision? If you don't, you need to spend some time, invest a little bit of time saying, what specifically do I want to create in my business? Where do I want it to be a year from now, 2 years from now, 3 years from now? That's number one. Number two, and we're going to move at a pretty fast clip, is you have to have passion. Our clients that are from all over the world, the one thing we can share with you that we have learned in the last 3 years and even more so in the last year with the people we've worked with personally is the ones who are passionate about their business really are playing. They're not working. They are playing at what they love to do. And we have found that when somebody's got a burning desire that resonates to their core, the chances for them to make $1 million in revenue or more far exceeds those who are just doing it for a job. And so passion is critical. The third thing that's really critical is what we call our true north, or knowing where you are right now and where you want to be. You have to be 100% serious and honest with yourself by doing what we call a true north, or a checkup of where you are and where you want to be. You've got to start seeing the bigger picture, which means you cannot allow your present circumstances control your thinking. Your present circumstances are a result of past behaviors and past thinking. So you've got to start seeing the big picture, and you've got to start putting plans in place for how to achieve that. Another point that you've got to really understand, and we'll talk a little bit more about it in point number three or four, and that's you've got to believe in yourself, and you've got to believe that what you want to achieve is possible. Now, what I didn't say is that you have to know how to do what you want to achieve, but you have to believe that somehow either you or through your contacts or through us being your coaches or through other people, you can achieve that. If you don't believe it, you will never, ever, ever achieve it. And there's absolute ways of getting to the core of what you believe and what you don't. And so those are things to get us started right now in really understanding vision, passion, knowing where you are, seeing and thinking about the big picture, believing in yourself and knowing that it's possible, and then obviously asking yourself, what does your business look like in a year, 2 years, and 3 years? Specifically, you've got to be specific, and we'll get into more about why the specifics are important. And just so you don't listen to me too long, let's get Murray back on, and let's go to number two, Murray.
Sure, John, and that was a very important list of things in which that are very important under the vision category. As equally important, I think, is the second step in the phase, which is focus. To me, most of what I do is focus. If you're not focused on getting the job done and looking towards those things that need to be done, then you're looking in the wrong category. I'm just going to list a couple of those things in which that I look at on a regular basis. I don't sweat the little stuff. I focus on the important stuff and the big stuff. I usually delegate or focus my time on my highest dollar productive activity. In certain circumstances, when you're a solopreneur or a self-employed person where that's not possible, there's all sorts of virtual assistants now that are made available. I prioritize my tasks so that I'm focused on the things in which that are important. I call it oxygen thinking. I only focus on those things every day when I start into the office in the morning, on things that are like oxygen to me to keep me alive and healthy. What are those things that are the same in business? The average person loses focus, if you can believe this, 6 to 10 times per minute.
Wow.
And the cost of that can be anywhere from 3 to 5 minutes every time it's lost in order to be able to come back to it. You have to be able to follow your intuition and gut feelings. So focus on what feels right. And I thoroughly believe that you should measure results, not time. That's what I focus on. I focus on the results. A lot of people spend their time, John, focusing on time.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I also ask myself, what is the one activity, if I focused on, could bring me the greatest result? And I would suggest that all of our listeners do the same thing. What is the one activity, if you focused on, would bring you the greatest results? John, you're an expert in the brain, and focus is all about the brain. Is there anything you can share with the listeners about focus?
A lot of people misunderstand what focus is, and focus is your ability to concentrate. Focus is your ability to give yourself a task and take it to completion, to stay on task from A to Z. And one of the biggest reasons that's important, and I can transition right now, Marie, into really the third factor, and that's the mindset or the psychological reasons why people don't succeed. I've done a lot of brain research in the last 6 years. I mentioned I've had three times to retire, which is what I hope for all of you on the call, that you can retire at will and do what you want to do. But I've had a lot of time to really think about and to understand from a scientific perspective why people know what they should be doing, but they don't do it, and why people are capable of achieving more, yet they don't achieve it. So I've had a lot of time to study, and a lot of what we teach is the psychological reasons behind that. Well, focus, there's a part of the brain, the front part of the brain, that when you start to focus, it actually just really lights up. It's the most advanced part of the human brain that we've really just learned about in the last 6-7 years and how it works. And when we learn how to focus using different exercises and focus training skills, we're able to stay on task a lot longer and do the things that we know we should be doing a lot more frequently than if we just leave it to chance and leave it to our habitual way of doing stuff. And so the brain is really very, very important. There are certain parts of the brain, when we get into the mindset, that are responsible, for example, for setting our goals, for listening to this call. And we feel good when we set our goals. We feel good when we're listening to these calls. We gather a lot of information. But what we have learned in the last few years is that the area of the brain that actually gathers the information and gets excited by the information that you're hearing today, for example, and the area of the brain that actually takes action is not the same part of the brain. And so we focused a lot on helping people identify where that part of the brain is that gathers the information, and more importantly, how do we get to transfer it over to the area of the brain that will help you take more action. And so the mindset's really critical. And so one of the things that we love to say is change your brain, change your bottom line. And if you want to understand more about that, think about this. Why is it possible for us to, for example, take all of Donald Trump's money away, and within very short order, he will gain most of that money back? His mindset, the way he is conditioned, the way he is programmed, is for success and for achieving business success and gaining money. We also know that if you take an individual who's never had money before and you help them, or they win the lottery, you don't even have to help them, 82 to 90% of them will lose all of the money that they won within very short order. Now, it has nothing to do with their abilities. It has a lot to do and everything to do, as a matter of fact, with the way they are conditioned. And so one of the things that we created was something called the neural reconditioning process, or really to help people change their mindset to condition themselves to achieve success at much higher levels than they are currently achieving. And so the psychological reason is absolutely critical if you want to achieve more success than you're achieving right now. There are systems in the brain that will actually hold you back or hold you at your current level of success if you don't recondition it. And so one of the things that Murray and I do consistently and our team does is retrain or recondition our own brains for success. And that is very, very important. It's the same example as if you wanted to upgrade your computer, you'd have to upgrade the software for the computer to do faster things or more complicated things. Well, the exact same thing is true of your brain. You have to upgrade the brain software in order for it to perform better and for you to perform better and more consistently. And so the psychological reasons for success for the mindset are absolutely imperative for anybody on this call that wants to achieve higher levels of success. If not, all you'll be doing is gathering more information, which you've done in the past, and you'll get the same results as you've had in the past.
You know, John, one of the things that I've always liked to hear you talk about, and I've said this on numerous calls, is the answer for why people who are smarter than you are make less, and why people that aren't as smart as you make more than you. How does that exist?
Well,
why does that exist?
Well, there's, if you take a look around us, or all around our society, we've got people that believe the same thing I believed when I went to school. If I get a college degree and I go out into the real world, I'll do really well because I have a college degree. Well, that's not true. There are plenty of people that have college degrees that aren't making a lot of money. And there is no correlation between having a college degree or education from a formal institution with making money. There are exact principles that people have to understand about building companies that generate company building. And that's what we have done. And so it has nothing to do with your intelligence from what we learned in school. There's actually multiple intelligences, 9 different types of intelligences that we can look at a human being versus their IQ, their IQ. And so that's more of what we get into, is what are the different states that somebody needs to be in to be able to achieve the success that they want to achieve.
And most people don't realize that building a successful company to a sustainable level isn't just strategies and tactics or psychology or any one of these factors that we're talking about. It's the combination of all of them. We specialize specifically on working with the individual and their business to accomplish the goals and the tasks and the desired outcomes.
Murray, there's 3 questions that you and I ask each other every single day, and if you haven't taken any notes yet, friends, this will be the time to take these notes, because this is going to be, I guess, on top of some of the stuff we've talked about, some of the most important stuff we're going to discuss tonight on this call, and that is this. 3 questions. Are you ready?
Murray? Am I supposed to do this?
Yeah, well, I'll let you do this. This, by the way, is in one of the next sessions, which is our strategies and tactics session, because you have to have the strategies and tactics in order to grow your business. But these 3 questions are the fundamentals that you must ask yourself.
And the strategy and tactics side, some people look as the backbone of an organization, and the psychology is the backbone of the individual. When we get into, before I let people know what these 3 questions are, we've mapped out more than 70 different modules, areas of business that are responsible for growth that fit under the strategies and tactics module that we're talking about. And so when we come to work in the morning, or when we're sitting down making decisions, we map out these 3 questions to those 70-odd modules and how we can use them to end up increasing revenues and profits. And the 3 questions are just 3 little simple questions. How do I get more profits from existing sales? If you've listened to calls in the past, you've heard me say this before. But number 1, how do you get more profits from existing sales? Number 2, how do you get more sales from existing clients? And when you think about number 1 and number 2, you've already gone through the expense and the time to acquire them as customers. Why not spend a little bit more time to figure out how you can make them more valuable to you in terms of making more money from them? The 3rd question, which is what most people spend their time focused on, is how do I get more clients? That's really the big question that any growth specialist, any business builder looks toward. How do I bring more clients into my business so that I can increase the revenues and profits that I have? And within that, we've got more than 40 of those 70 modules that pertain to it, where we specifically look at the different strategies and tactics, skills that are required of you, the business owner. What do you need to be equipped with in order to be able to maximize this particular area? Of the 40, John and I are going to banter back and forth a little bit on 3 of the what we believe to be the most generic, so that everyone on the call feels as though they've gotten value. And those 3 are a client profile, a unique selling proposition, and the client's decision-making process. And we'll explain to you what they are and what the purpose and benefits of them are, and why they're so critical, and why most people don't even look at them as being valuable. They're more interested in the actual strategies about how to do direct mail, or how to do internet marketing, or how to do continuity programs, or how to do any one of the other 20 different ways in which that you can employ a strategy to build a business. And so, John, why don't we get into talking about a client profile and giving the listeners some value for what a client profile is, why it's important.
What I'd like to make sure everybody understands is you're listening to 2 guys who've been doing this for 25 years. So number 1, don't feel intimidated or inundated Learning how to grow a company to $1 million or to $2 million or to $5 million, it takes some time. It takes a team and it takes some time. And so no matter where you are in your position in your company or where you are as far as revenues, don't feel bad about it. We can help you to go from where you are to where or from where you are to where you want to get. And we're going to give you some of the fundamental stuff that you need right now. And so a client profile is something very, very few people talk about. All right. And it's critical for you to understand who is your customer. Most people.
Go ahead.
Most people have never taken the time to really define who is their customer. And so it's really critical. And what we look for all the time is, what could we find out about our customer? How old are they? Where do they shop? Where do they read? What do they buy? What are their goals? We try to find out as much as we can about the profile of our ideal client. And so, for example, I can tell you that the people on this call, for the most part, are business owners who are generating less than $2 million a year in revenue, half male, half female, between the ages of 35 and 55. How do we know that? The majority of our clients are in that group. Now, that's not to say that we don't have some people that are below that age level or that psychographic profile. But we look at always identifying where and who is our customer. So we have a profile that we can target them better. Murray, do you want to piggyback on that?
Yeah, I think that it's important for people to not take it for granted that they think they know who their clients are. And I've got a little story I want to share with you very quickly.
Sure.
I was engaged by Dave & Buster's, which is a public company, does about $350 million a year. Their Canadian operations were near bankrupt, and I was engaged for them to come in and look at their business and see if I was interested in getting involved and turning around. Well, I did, and I took over as president of the company, and one of the first things I did was a client profile. And this company had been around for 20 years. They were marketing to a 25 to 35-year-old male, thinking that that's who their customer was. After a very quick assessment, it was determined that the decision maker, not the person that came into the facility, but the person that either made the decision or influenced the decision, was a woman. Somebody completely different than who they were marketing to, who they were doing their advertising and their branding and their promotional campaigns to. It was, in fact, a woman who, whether it was for special events in the office they were making the decision, whether it was the person in the family that was making the decision to attend, or whether it was a person on a date, it was the woman that was either influencing or making that decision. So a slight change in the marketing and the communication strategy directly affected the outcome of revenue, because now we were talking to the person in which that made the decision. So you can see a little example there of what the importance was of who the customer profile was. At Indian Motorcycle, as another quick example, the customer profile there was absolutely critical. We needed to be bang on with the identity of who the psychographic, demographic, and geographic profiles were. We were selling a $40,000 motorcycle. We did $75 million in the first year. In fact, we sold $100 million worth of dealerships rights within the span of a few hours on a conference call, specifically because we had done our homework to know the profile of our customer. So I challenge everybody to take a moment, not on this call, but tomorrow or later tonight, to sit back and think, who's your client? What would provide them or you with the greatest financial return? What are the individual characteristics of that client that make them the most ideal person for you to do business with?
And if you're saying, I don't know, or I don't know where to find out, you're taking the easy way out. There's always a way to find out by asking your clients, by profiling your clients, and by doing a little bit of research. And one of the things that we make sure that our clients do is they identify who their client profile is. And what that does for you, just so you know, is once you identify where they are, your cost to find them and your cost to market to them actually diminishes. It goes down dramatically, but the impact it has, because you've got people that you know are in need of your product or service, your impact goes up dramatically. So it takes a bit of time on the front end, but the results are absolutely outstanding on the back end when you do that.
That's a great point, John. I work with clients every day, not all day, but every day I work with different clients that are in the range of $50,000 a year, $100,000 in income, $200,000. And it is the single most important thing that changes their revenue position, is being able to get better clarity so that their marketing costs are reduced and so that their opportunity is much greater.
I think that the next part is what we call our unique selling proposition or unique strategic positioning. And the best visual I can give each one of you to think about how you need to start thinking about your product or service is this. In today's competitive world, there are other people that are providing services that Murray and I and our team is. There's other people providing the services and products that you have. So the question is, how do you differentiate yourself so much that people want to do business with you? And there's something that we call the purple cow, and there's a book written by Seth Gooden, a friend of ours, called Purple Cow. And here's the premise. If you walked down the street and you saw a purple cow, what would you do? And the answer is you would stop and look at it because it's so unique and so unusual. Well, the question that we always look for ourselves is, how do we make sure that we stand out, that we're unique, that we're unusual to people long enough for them to say, hey, let's take a look at that. You have to think of your product or service in a way that other people will see the differentiation factors, that you have something that's unique and something nifty. If not, you're just vanilla, you're plain like everybody else. And that is the worst mistake you can make if what you want to do is get to the $1 million or $500,000 mark or a multi-million dollar mark. You have to separate yourself from the competition through some creative thinking.
You know, John, we did a spot on our weekly One Coach report on the USP several months ago. And so hopefully most of the listeners that are on the call tonight had the benefit of accessing that information, where we went a little bit more in depth about what the single most important benefit is that you tell your customers that separate you from your competition.
Wonderful. And let's get to the last part in this, getting more clients that they need to look at.
Sure, and that's the decision-making process. And I'll be very brief with this because it doesn't take a lot of experience to figure this out. If you can map out your client's decision-making process, what they go through when making a decision to do business with you, what their criteria is for buying from you, if you can map that process out, you should be able to insert your message in that that process. Do they pick up the phone and call 411? Do they look in the yellow pages? Is their decision a impulse decision? Is it a planned decision? Are they the decision maker? Are they the decision influencer? There's a whole host of different things, whether your product's seasonal, and I suggest that you sit down and just start making a list of all those things in which that you believe your client goes through when making that decision, and then organize it from beginning to end and see where the opportunity is for you to begin the communication of why your product, using your USP and your client profile, why those three things work so well together.
Right, and marketing is going to play a huge role here. When you understand how they make their decisions, you can start to craft your messages accordingly. You can start to craft your offers accordingly. You can learn to know when you make your offers versus when you don't. And so a lot of people are more interested, like, let's make the sale fast. Well, some people don't buy fast, depending on your product or service. And so it takes a bit of time to do this. But that's what the difference is between working on your business and working in your business. You've got to take the time to think about these things, and you only think about them one time, and then you execute from there.
John, I'm going to quickly jump into the fifth category we're dealing with called planning so that we can move on because we're running out of time. We want to make sure we cover off everything and give people all the value they're looking for. To me, planning is one of the more important aspects of what we do. And you got to remember something. It doesn't matter what industry you're in, what type of business you have, what resources you have available, what experience you have, how much skill you've got. The key to being successful in business is having the right information in the right order. And that's what planning does. Planning helps you identify the resources that you need. It identifies your strengths and weaknesses. It'll determine your priorities. You can figure out your costs using the right planning tools, setting you up to take action. Is probably the biggest thing that the planning process can take. And so without spending a whole lot of time on planning, just to, people need to understand that that's a critical success factor in our seven categories that we're talking about.
And I'm gonna let everybody on this call know is one of the things that I hate to do the most is plan. One of the things that Murray loves to do the most is plan. And the reason I'm mentioning this is I know planning is critical. And what I want everybody to understand is that you don't have to be the one who knows how to plan. You have to be the one, as the owner of your business, I don't care how small or how big it is, that gets the planning done. And so you bring people on board either through partnerships, through hiring them, through barters, through whatever means you can to help you through the planning process if planning is hard for you, which leads us to the next part, and that's taking action. And I want to ask everybody on the call a question. Are there things that you know you should be doing and could be doing to generate more revenues right now in your business? And if the answer is no, I would suggest you maybe telling a little bit of a fib, because everybody knows what they could be doing a little bit better or a lot better to generate more revenue. I'm going to touch back upon the difference between setting your goals of what you want to achieve and actually what you do achieve. And there are two different parts of the brain, again, that sets the goals. There's another part of the brain that actually helps you to achieve the goals. So what we want to help you understand is you've got to take the knowledge that you have, the knowledge that you're acquiring on this call, on other calls you participate on things that you read, and apply it. It's the application of the information that really yields the results. And so you've got to really become a action taker, not a goal setter, but a goal achiever. And that really takes a little bit of rewiring. If you're not doing your highest income producing activities every day, then you have to rewire your brain so that you do that. And here's a question for you to think about. What percentage of your time are you actually spending in front of somebody who could buy your product or service? And if you're spending less than 50, 60, or 70% of your time in front of people, either via the internet, via teleconference calls, via face-to-face marketing, publicity, whatever you need to in order to get in front of them, you are not doing the right job for yourself to be earning the highest income producing activities or to be earning the highest income. And so taking action is absolutely critical, and making decisions to take action is absolutely critical day in and day out. And as Murray suggested earlier, it's okay to make mistakes. It's part of the learning process, but you've got to get up every day and you've got to take action. You've got to make the decisions that are going to move you to the next step of your business success.
John, you know what? One of the most important parts of what we do is what we refer to community.
Yep.
Why don't we just brief over the purpose of community and why it's so important that they surround themselves with the right ingredients and the right community, as I said.
Well, there's two parts to community, and you can chime in any time. I know that the people that we hang around, the people that come to our workshops, the people that we learn, the people that we interview, the people that are giving us the latest and the greatest tools for sales, for marketing, for the internet, for planning, for strategic thinking, those are the people that we really want to hang around only because it gives us the opportunity to shortcut the circuit of success. And so we're able to achieve success a lot faster. You've got to keep this in mind. Our environment, meaning our business environment, it is changing rapidly, and the competition is getting fiercer and fiercer and fiercer. When you can work with a group of people that band together and you surround yourself with like-minded individuals, your success rate goes up through the roof because you're surrounding yourself through a community and environment of people that are there to help themselves and to help you. And what I've found, I know, in our community and in being in different mastermind groups, is everybody wants to see other people succeed. And so community is important. Your family is one community. You've got to make sure that that works. Your business friends and associates, so you've got to make sure that you're around people who are striving for success, who want to achieve more and want to contribute more. Community is absolutely instrumental in achieving the success. So we highly recommend for everybody to be part of the right community that will be a support to them and will help them during the tough times, will help them circumvent all the challenges, mitigate the risks, and at the same time give them the information that they need to make the decisions that will move them towards making an extra $100,000 or $500,000 a year. And so community is essential. I've been involved in the business community for many, many, many years. I know you have as well, Murray, with people that have been absolutely brilliant additions to our life, and they've helped us a ton.
My success with my family, John, with my health, with where I've ended up in life professionally and financially is primarily as a result of the community that I surround myself with. So it's absolutely important. I think what would be good just now is if we just kind of recapped the categories that are responsible for building a multi-million-dollar company. And we've talked about vision. We talked about focus. We talked about having the right mindset or the psychology. We talked about the right strategies and tactics for business. We talked about planning, the importance of it. We talked about action and how without action, nothing else happens. and we talked about the importance of community. Those are what John and I and our One Coach team believe in our hearts that are required in order to be successful at building a sustainable company.
Okay, you've been listening to information from One Coach. It's a resource that I use to help me with both of my businesses. And basically, again, I do is I also coach people myself. And as Dave was going over those different categories, I hope you took notes. Those that's listening in today, if you'd like a copy of that particular presentation, just email me, you know, and I'll email you a copy of it so you can have access to it. And remember this right here, what I'm about to share with you. And it helped me a lot. And I got it from when I was in the military, because they used to always, I mean, you know, military is like, you know, hey, very regimented. Well, it used to be anyway when I was in there, which was like, you know, I guess like eons ago, 1970 and 71. But we used to have this thing called proper planning prevents poor performance. Proper planning prevents poor performance. You got to plan what you do, and especially in the world of business. And so, it's, you know, the information that they gave, you know, I hope it was of some value to you. Was, you know, to me was some real, real great information. You know, I use it with both of my businesses. Like I told you before, I have a nonprofit business working with youth in terms of youth development, and I'm excited because Monday I'll be heading to Washington, D.C. to develop some things for some people there for my Youth Entrepreneur Academy. One of the things that I believe, if you teach young people how to go in business for themselves, that whether they become a successful entrepreneur or not, the other side that they get out of that is they learn to plan, they learn to think outside the box, and get away from the job mentality. Remember this, and I'm not knocking jobs because, you know, hey, we got to do something, pay our bills and all of that, but remember, you'll never get wealthy working a job. Job stands for just over broke, you know, so do what you got to do for those of you out there, you know, still working your J-O-B. Do what you got to do to take care of your family because, again, my motto is God first, family second, then business. So you got to do what you got to do for your family and then, you know, put together some kind of business. Again, purpose of this program is called Home-Based Business 101, how to be able to run a business from your home, regardless of what it is. Yes, I have a particular interest. I market network marketing through YTB because I feel it's one of the greatest home-based business opportunities that exists out there. But whether you're involved with what I'm doing or not, there's just certain basic rules to the game. It's just like we're playing basketball. I don't care where we play it at. You can't double dribble. You know, you just don't exist. You can't do that. Other than that, we can't play the same game. Business, if you're running a home-based business, as I shared with you earlier in the broadcast, you know, that important thing of record-keeping and making sure you have your records in order so that when you deal with the IRS, you can get your tax credits. Home-based business is one of the greatest tax shelters that exists out there today. As we have this last 6 minutes on the air, anyone that wants to call in, you feel free to call in. The call-in number is 646-595-4222, 646-595-4222. As I shared with you before, you know we have two businesses that me and my wife run. One is the nonprofit side, which I just went over some things with, and then the other is our travel business, YTB, which is offering great and tremendous travel opportunities for people in terms of business. And one of the things, you know, people a lot of times ask me, say, well, you know, well, what made you decide you wanted to get in YTB? Well, I think about, you know, Bill Gates. Bill Gates went to five of his friends, and Bill said the following. He said, look, there's going to come a time when almost everybody in the world, the majority of people in the world, will have a computer in their house or their place of business. And we can develop the software for computers, Microsoft. With the five of his friends, two said, yeah. Three said, man, you crazy. I wonder what those three that told him he was crazy, how they sleep at night now based on, you know, what he was able to accomplish through doing that. And so, again, as a business, you know, you gotta have vision and visionary. else online. People book travel online already. But there's going to come a time when the majority of people will have their own online travel booking engine, and they'll be able to get it through YTB. And so as I tell people, I need to find how many people can I help with that process. The more people I help with that process to get them hooked up, the more money I'm going to make. But there's going to come a time. Somebody's going to help them. Why not be me? Why not it be you? Somebody's going to help them, because the common sense thing is the following. If you can rent a car, Valentine's Day is coming up. On our site, we do more than travel. We basically are an internet travel store. Travel is one of the big ticket items that we market. But come Valentine's Day coming up, you want to buy flowers for your wife? You can have your own site where you can buy flowers from yourself and get paid 60% of the commission, as opposed to going to the florist, buying the flowers, and get nothing. You know, and there's so many. The thing is this. Also, remember McDonald's. McDonald's, what they did, they created outlets. And then once they created outlets, they added all different kind of products that they want. You know, McDonald's distributes more toys than Toys R Us. McDonald's sells more eggs than Denny's. They did. They created outlets, and they added products. When McDonald's first started, they had a burger, a cheeseburger, a fry, a cold drink, and a milkshake. And Ray Kroc had this whole vision of building outlets. And then as he built outlets, it became distribution points. And then he added more and more products on his distribution points. That's one of the reasons I'm in YTB. Besides travel, people can buy their cars on our site for $500 above factory invoice. And if you purchase the car yourself, it's $500 above factory invoice, but because you put it on your site, you also get a $300 commission. So there's a lot of great perks. And, again, you can go to my site, www.jahitravel.com. Jahi Travel Site is the sponsor for this program, Home Based Business 101. I thank you for tuning in this week and in listening to the program. Get ready to close out with our theme song called It's My Time. And I play that song a lot because you have to focus and view whatever it is that you're doing that it's my time. Yes, it's your time. It's your time to get what you want to get done for yourself, for your family. I mean, it's so important that we take advantage of how to change our family history. And, again, remember, I'm not knocking jobs. I used to have to work a job to pay bills, too. But I always had a vision bigger than a job. Remember this, job, J-O-B, just over broke. Most people I know, if they miss 2 to 3 paychecks, they would be homeless. So you don't want to be trapped on a job. You want to ultimately be able to build your own business. Until next week, this is Baba Jahi with Home-Based Business 101. And I enjoyed having you listen in this Sunday morning. Take care. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of the day with your family, your friends, and your loved ones. And whatever business idea you have, share with them so that they can help you and you can help them. Peace and blessings. Listen to our theme song as we close out. I create the space that I'm living.
on a path towards success and clarity. I'm in the flow.